What's on your mind? You see, we say that to people from time to time. What's on your mind? And they'll give us some kind of spiel. They'll tell us, I tell you what, I've been a little bit fearful. I've asked that question to some people and they told me. I was a little sorry that I did. But what's on your mind? You know, how can we have a healthy spiritual mind? I love Philippians 2 and verse 5, and we'll kind of use this as a bellwether verse for every single presentation. Listen to this. Paul said, let this mind, the mind of Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell us today this is going on in our culture more today than ever before. It's mental illness. And when you stop and you dissect it, mental illness is all about the mind. Every bit of it. And here's what's happened with said individuals. Mentally ill people, they think different. They just do. Because they have a disease. And to them, their thinking is skewed. It's warped. It's twisted. They might believe that that's normal. But we know it's abnormal. And the disease of the mind is one of the greatest challenges that our culture faces. And so laying that aside, because we're not here clinically to talk about those particular things, because we're on a different realm today and a different level, what we're talking about is developing healthy spiritual thinking. And here's where it starts. It starts with a VBS song. And those of us who grew up in churches of Christ have probably been to Vacation Bible School on an annual basis. And one of the things that our children love to do in those age-appropriate classes is sing those songs with great meaning and power. And there is a particular song, and it's very, very long, but this is one refrain in that VBS song. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. And that really forms the foundation for this entire six-part series of messages. And I hope that you won't miss any of the respective parts. Part two tonight at 6 o'clock. I look forward to sharing that presentation. But let's talk a little bit this morning about this. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Because everybody in this room is influenced by those around us. Our sphere of influence. Sometimes we refer to it as our peers. And make no mistake about it. Everybody in this room is influenced by their peers. I love the scriptures that are found on the screen in front of us. 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Apostle Paul said, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good morals. Think about it. Evil peers can influence you to do evil things. And we're not just talking about young people or teenagers. Adults are influenced by peers every single day. I want you to go back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. And notice three or four selections out of Proverbs 1. Look at verse 5 to begin with. It's what Reagan read just a couple of minutes ago. A wise man, notice the terminology. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Look at verses 7 and 8 and then 15. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What's the rejoinder here? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father. And do not forsake the law of your mother. And then look down at verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way of them. And them were the preceding verses that he talked about starting in verse 10. The sinners who entice us to do wrong and to do evil. Keep, he says, your foot from their path. Abstain from evil communications. Sometimes the people we associate with, one of two things is going to happen to us. Either we're going to be salt and light in their life, and we're going to influence them for good, or the reverse is going to happen. They're going to say to us something that's going to harm us and hurt us and befall us because of the choice we made with the mind. That's where it all begins. That's how valuable it is to have healthy spiritual thinking. Let me give you some examples. Let me give you the example here, and before I do that, let me preface this by saying to us this truth. Hearing voices is not necessarily a bad thing, all right? A lot of times we'll talk to people and they'll say, well, they heard this still small voice, or they were hearing voices and it led them to do this, that, or the other. Well, I'm going to suggest to us that everybody in the room hears voices all of the time. And I'll give you some examples of that. Here's the first one, Eve in the Garden of Eden. I'm going to tell you something. She heard a voice. She was hearing voices. All these trees, they're for your choosing. Whatever your mind decides to do, those trees are for you. But here's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This tree you do not need to eat of. Guess what voice Eve listened to? Guess what was on her mind? The serpent had such a subtle voice. Surely you won't die. Surely nothing bad will happen to you. Certainly nothing like you're speaking of is going to befall you. What voice did Eve hear? And what voice did she pay attention to? What about this one? In Job 2 and verse 9. You remember what was happening in Job in chapter 1? All these negative things were happening to Job. And he repeatedly was being hit with evil. And in Job 2 verse 9, it's one of the most fascinating verses in the book of Job. Job's own wife, you know what she said to Job? Here's what she said. She said, why don't you curse God and die and get it over with? You know what I cannot hardly fathom? That Mrs. Job asked Mr. Job to commit suicide. She did. She said, just kill yourself and be done with it. Thankfully, Mr. Job did not listen to his spouse who was espousing a negative mindset. Then Job had three friends he was surrounded by. I'm going to give you their names. You'll probably need to write these down somewhere. Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. Can you imagine for a moment Zophar's last name being Lamar? And going around all your life, somebody says, what's your name, Zophar Lamar? Really? What a name. Or Bildad Shag Nasty or something like that. I mean, that's crazy, some of these names, all right? But here were three supposed friends of Job, and they constantly followed him around and saying, listen, I know why bad things are happening to you, because you've been shame before Gomer ever got on the scene. I know what you've been doing. I know why evil things are happening to you. I know you've been a bad boy. And here is Job. Is he listening to the voices of Bildad? Is he listening to the voice of Eliphaz? Is he listening to the voice of Zophar? Those voices that we hear. What about our own voices? You know what? There's not a day that goes by that you don't talk to yourself. I promise you. Now, it may not necessarily be out loud, but most of the time when you look in the mirror, you know what you do when you look in the mirror? You want me to tell you what you do when you look in the mirror? I don't look that bad, do I? Really? I'm going to go out in public like that? You don't have any choice. I've seen so many people looked in the mirror and they did not like who they saw and they sought to change it. Well, I'm going to get rid of my elf ears or I'm going to get whatever it is. But it is what it is. And we're constantly talking to ourselves. Do I really look like that? In the capital city one time, we had a pictorial directory out in the foyer. And we got people's pictures and we post them on there. There was one lady, never will forget this, old blessed soul. I think she's in the ground now. But we took her picture 4 times. She said every single one of them didn't look like her. You know what the problem was? It looked exactly like her. Took 5 shots before we got one of them to get on the board. I don't know. And then she wanted to throw darts at that, you know. When we look in the mirror, we constantly say something about our physical appearance when we look in the mirror. We're constantly hearing those voices. All of the time we're hearing those voices. Let me give us some helpful teaching on the beginning of how to have a healthy spiritual mindset. We're going to be in 1st and 2nd Timothy, the rest of the message. So take your Bibles over there to those two books. 1st and 2nd Timothy. Beginning in 1st Timothy 1 and verse 3. Paul told this young evangelist Timothy, he says, listen, when you remain in Ephesus, see that they charge that they teach no other doctrine. I don't want you to get any false information. I don't want them to teach anything false. I don't want you to get anything false. I want to make sure that they get the truth in their minds. Okay? Go to chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Paul tells Timothy, if anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, but to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourselves. Look what he says about that healthy mind versus the unhealthy mind. And then in the book of 2 Timothy, he continues with some of the same information for us. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 14 through 17. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Watch what he says in 16. Shun, steer clear of profane and idle babblings. We were talking about that earlier today, Novi and Pat over there. We're talking about preachers probably going to have some babblings today. I told them I used to like both of them. Watch what he says in 17. Their message, the profane babblings, which increases to ungodliness, their message will spread like cancer. Did you know the word cancer was in the Bible? Did you know cancer is not anything new? But this cancer was a cancer of the mind. It was a cancer of the heart. It wasn't of the flesh like we experience it today. It was a cancer of the mind and a cancer of the heart. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5, I want you to look at this list. He says, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. When you hear these voices, the voice of conflict, can you think of anything worse than to live in a home where there's constant conflict, not just between the husband and the wife, but between the father and the children and the mother and the children. Just constant conflict. You know that there's diseases of the mind when you live in a home like that. What about where pride rules? Where somebody says, nobody's going to tell me I do anything wrong. I'm going to stick my chest out. Unless you get rid of your pride, friend, and your mindset, you won't make it into the pearly gates. Suspicion. Envy. Proverbs 14:30 says that envy's the rottenness of the bones. It goes clear to the core. And if you're envious of somebody else, that's a cancer that's in the mind. Gossip. Somebody who just absolutely delights running their mouth before they open their brain. And here's how a lot of that starts. I'm going to tell you something. When you hear somebody preface by saying this, run as fast as you can. Did you hear about? No, and I don't want to. Amen. We've got to stop the mouth of the gossip. It's a disease of the mind. Arrogance. Ignorance. Ingratitude. You know, that's all in our reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. This is the antithesis of a healthy mind. This is an unhealthy, immature mind on the screen. So what's the prescription? What's the RX? What's the medicine? How do we begin to get a foundation where we can develop a healthy mind? Well, I want to take you to these two scripture readings, and I believe this will begin to help us see a foundation for a spiritually healthy mind. 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, he loved Timothy. Be strong. There's power. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I want to tell you something about your family unit. If you're the man of the house, it's on you to be the man of your house. See, it's on you to have your wife submissive. It's on you to teach and train those children. That's you. It's you, Dad. It's not easy to be a male in 2018. You watch it. No, you don't watch it. Come to think of it, don't watch it. Every 30-minute sitcom makes Dad look like a stupid, bumbling, doofus idiot. Every one of them. Every one of those 30-minute shows. Dad is just some joker over here. He can't make a decision if his life depends on it. You be the man and commit your family, who in turn will be able to strengthen the church family. This church is only as strong as the family unit. And so that's the advice that he gives us for a spiritual healthy mind. Pay attention to the spiritual things. Now, look at the second reading here. It's a little longer, but I think it's worth it. You got time, don't you? 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17. Listen to these words. You've carefully followed my doctrine or teaching, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance, the persecutions, the afflictions, which happened to be at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Watch 13. If you don't remember another verse this morning, remember 13, because I'm not a prophet or the son of a prophet, but I can tell you this, our world will not get better according to this verse. Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's happening even as I speak. But you, here's the healthy mind, but you must continue in what you have learned. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. In what you have learned. And been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. From childhood you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Watch 16 and 17. All Scripture, not some Scripture, part of Scripture, most Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 17. That the man of God might be complete, mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work that comes down the pike. There is your RX. There's your prescription. There it is. It's incumbent upon us individually to have a strong, healthy mind as we look into the Word of God, because that's where the answers are. TBC. Part 2 tonight. And part 3 and part 4, part 5, part 6. Let's go back to the beginning. It was Philippians 2, verse 5. Let this mind, attitude, disposition, heart, let this be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's my understanding. You correct me if I'm wrong on this. I'll be glad for you to. It's my understanding that when we become a Christian, that we're supposed to be like Christ. And if we're to be like Christ, then we're to have the mind of Christ. What would Jesus do? And I want to ask you this question. Where would Jesus go? Do you go somewhere where Jesus wouldn't go? Why? What would Jesus say? Do you say things that Jesus wouldn't say? Why? Are you influenced more by your peers rather than you influencing your peers? You see, that's where it is on becoming a spiritually healthy person. As we get ready to sing our song this morning, we love people. We care about people. Jesus died for people. The church has its doors open for people. That's what it's all about. If your mindset has got skewed, twisted into the world, come back with that healthy mindset. We love you. And we welcome you back as we stand and sing our song.